You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. World of Work.
And joining us, not in studio, obviously. We're not having anyone in studio that doesn't need to be here physically. But we appreciate her expertise still, is Anya van Beek, who is a talent strategist and a leadership coach and a regular guest on this feature. Anya, goeiemôre. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. CBS. Yeah, thank you for inviting me again. Lovely to be part of the show. And as you say, virtually this time, a first for the two of us.
Yes, absolutely. But of course, that is necessary because it is literally changes in the world of work that we all now have to adapt to as a result of this global pandemic. And what's so interesting is the last hour, we had so many examples from our last guest, Dr. Lynn Morris from the NICD, talking about how in crises, you don't wish to have a crisis ever, but it's amazing how innovative and creative we can be to still enjoy certain goals that we set for ourselves and to be able to achieve certain outcomes. And that's exactly what we're going to focus on, how to be productive if you must stay at home.
Yeah, no, most definitely, because as you say, on the news, they just say 116 confirmed cases. And I think employers and companies are doing whatever they can to slow down the infection rate. So, yeah, we see work from home as an option that many people are now embracing.
Let's get into the modalities around that. It's so interesting. I mean, firstly, by the way, if you are listening, give us a call. Are you working from home? How are you finding it? Are you struggling to get up at your normal time? Do you struggle to, I don't know, for example, take seriously walking from your bedroom to your study or sitting in your bed and getting out of sleeping mode into work mode? I'd love to hear just your experiences. So if your company already has a work at home policy and you are trialing it perhaps today, or you've been trialing it for a couple of days, how is it actually going? We'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. Let's jump into exactly that question, Anya. Some people work from home anyway, but many people don't. And in our head, both psychologically, but also just in terms of how we organize our day and our head space, work is the place where we go to bitch and moan, to fight with our partners, to make love, to have sex, to be with the kids, to eat, sleep. And work is where we are earnest and we are now clocking in and out. How do we rearrange the mental furniture and the physical furniture?
Yeah, it's such an interesting way, because I think so many people that when they now have the opportunity to work from home, how do you actually, as you say, just organize your day that you're actually productive and that you still focus on the output that you need to deliver? What I have seen is that people are so confused, or they need to decide, do I stick to my routine or not? And the first step that I've seen that works quite well is to don't adjust your daily routine. As far as possible, don't consider sleeping in, but rather stick to that morning routine, simply because, I mean, your brain is used to that rhythm, and it even signals you now it's time to, you know, to get going, and that you can maintain that productivity during your time at home. So again, if you have to look at, do you dress, do you stay in bed, my tip would be have a look what works for you, but it is best perhaps to still dress comfortably, neatly, not necessarily as formal as you would for a day at work, but subconsciously, again, it tells your brain that it's now work mode and not necessarily lounge mode.
That is such an important point, because it's amazing what a difference it can make to your state of mind to simply even get into different clothing. I mean, it's very hard for me to pretend that I'm really, really at work if I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think different things might work for different people.
Of course, yeah.
And perhaps I can experiment and learn, but the tip would be rather stick to the normal routine. I think it will support them to stay in that work mode mind frame.
And I suppose the same would therefore go, not just for physically or in terms of dress, what I do, but also in terms of keeping hours. If I know ordinarily Anya is going to scold me if I'm late for work, and by the time I hear Eusebius's voice, I'm really rushing because it's now 9 o'clock. But I might take chances with myself, because Anya's knots at home to breathe down my neck.
Yeah, and I think that is so important, especially for teams that's now going to work remotely, agree on the basics. I think so often we think, okay, now everybody is just going to get into a new rhythm, but it is critical for teams to agree on, okay, so what are the new rules? Are we going to stick to the 8 to 5? When are we going to have meeting time? What technology are we going to use to check in, etc.? Because I think we do have the flexibility now, as long as we know we're on the same page. So I think that type of basic agreements with the team and the leaders is critical.
I will say a mantra that I've always enjoyed, I think everyone will now agree, must be the new normal. Focus on output, not on processes. Because I was even speaking to a colleague of mine. She, if she's listening, she will know we were having a little bit of a gossip session this morning, waiting to have our temperatures taken by the security staff as we entered the building. And I was saying to her, what's really important is that, and we'll after the break get into this, but give me a first comment now. If you can be productive at home, we should not fear either ourselves, nor should companies fear that being at home equals lack of productivity. Because if I have clear KPIs, I can check digitally whether they are met, in the same way in which Anya can be in the building physically for 8 hours and be useless and play Tetris.
Yeah, and what you say is so true. I mean, to manage a company remotely might be different, but the foundations are still the same. It's still based on trust. It's still based on, as you say, what's your KPI, what are the goals? And it just needs a little bit of a different mindset to say, okay, but how do we going to work together? But it should not be that different. I think especially in these times, I mean, talking about flexibility and remote workers, it's been such a topical issue over the last few years.
Mm.
And suddenly companies are forced to just adopt that.
That's right.
And I think the proof is now in the pudding.
Absolutely. 13 minutes after 11. Call us. What are your fears as a manager from an HR point of view, running a company? Perhaps you'd like to provide flexibility, remote workplaces. What are the things that are not in place? What are your biggest concerns from a company side? And as a worker, have you tried it out? And if you've been doing it all along, forget about COVID-19, perhaps you had other ergonomic reasons why you decided your company will at any rate be bucking the trend of clocking in and out of a physical building. Tell us what has worked, what hasn't worked, what lessons you have learned that late adopters can take on board immediately. And let's pool our resources in terms of thinking about the world of work in a new way, where extreme social distancing is critical to our strategy for flattening the curve. We're talking to Anya van Beek. This is a focus on work. It cannot be business as usual. People must work from home. But what are the nuts and bolts of doing so? Share your stories with us right now. We'd appreciate that on 011-883-0702.
702 World of Work.
Fascinating conversation we're having. What are the practical implications of working remotely? Many of us must work from home. We have to do our bit to contribute towards social distancing and perhaps even extreme social distancing to really flatten that curve and make sure that exponential transmission rates is not something that we see in our communities, because it's going to put incredible pressure on limited resources we have. But what does this mean for you as a manager? What does it mean for you as a business owner? What does it mean for you as a worker? Are you able to be productive at home? How do you rearrange your day? What does it mean to wake up in the morning and in the same space that you normally think of as your space that is a break from work, to suddenly have to divvy it up between workspace, physically or mentally, and space that is domestic? And I think it's a really, really interesting question. If you've already been doing this, share with us what has worked, what hasn't worked, and what tips have you got for someone that is perhaps right now as we speak trialing this out, because I know many companies are doing it on a trial basis. 011-883-0702. Bronwyn, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Yusuf. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, so with us, we did trial it before the whole coronavirus, and it worked perfectly because we actually, so we have a target-based business, and the numbers compared to when you work at home were extremely high compared to when you're in the office, because there's obviously different types of distractions at the office, people coming to your desk, calls, just little chit-chats. And unfortunately, the managers were not keen for the working remotely because they, according to them, it's bums on seats. You know, if I don't see you, how do I know you're working?
What?
Are there.
That is so silly, because your example is so beautiful of an upside. We're just talking about minimum KPIs. You're telling me that the bottom line may improve if there's less chit-chat. And that actually stands to reason now that you put it that way.
Yeah, and there's a system. You pull the figures, and you see the figures are up by more than 70%.
Precise, and you can use the numbers to have accountability in place.
Correct. But unfortunately, that's not the way they want to work. So,
you know what I think, Bronwyn? Yeah. Just a little conspiracy. Maybe they were scared that they're going to become redundant.
Maybe.
Thanks for sharing that, Bronwyn. Isn't that an interesting example, Anya?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful example. I mean, there you have clear data where you can actually sell the story of remote working. Bronwyn mentioned distractions at work, and I think what we do need to be mindful is also the distractions at home, especially now with schools closing down as well. So I think for whoever is working at home, is just to make certain to have that dedicated workspace and to try to limit the distractions as much as possible. I remember a few years back when I started to work remotely, one of my rules that I just followed was don't even put on the TV. Don't even get into that temptation, because it's so much easier to be distracted. But I mean, as you say, beautiful case study of 70% up, and it's a target-based business. So thank you very much.
Yeah, the other thing I'm mindful of are inequalities and different burdens we have in our homes. If you live in a small home with lots of people and you have a big family and you've got children, you might not have the luxury of being able to work productively quietly. So even if it's nice for you to not do chit-chat with Eusebius who talks too much in the open office plan area, home cannot be rearranged to be fit for work purposes for many South Africans. Because it depends on the size of your home, who you're sharing that space with. And that's something we've got to be mindful of as well. People come to work and we do not know what home environments they come from, because we all perform certain versions of ourselves at work.
Yeah, and it's such an important point. And I'm so glad you've raised that part, because if you have a look at leaders, business leaders, so they might be so focused on the financial impact and the daily operations of what we need to do in this time, but they don't need to forget the impact on the employees and, as you say, their families and their community. So that is why being an empathetic leader, to really understand what your team is going through, and as you say, it's different for each one of us. And to open up those conversations to understand, if I put myself in your shoes, what are your realities? How can we support you to be productive in the better good of all of us in the long run? But it's such an important point, because it's so easy for leaders to focus on the non-human aspect, but really to understand, but who's sitting in front of me? Do I really have the empathy to understand their situation?
Mm. Paul, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Eusebius. I've been working from home for quite a number of years. I've been lucky in that sense. And I must say, for me, it's working well, because, I found, you know, it's more productive, because I don't waste time sitting in peak traffic 1 to 2 hours a day. And also it allows me to work flexi hours. The thing that I was very happy about hearing you say is that you and your colleagues were screened this morning going into the building, and that is on the suggestion side. And then I have another question for the HR side.
Mm-hmm.
Factories, most of them has got an industrial nurse on premises, and one factory I'm particularly familiar with, every morning all staff had to do a breathalyzer test when they go onto the premises. Now they've stopped that, but to replace that, I think it will be a very cheap solution to screen staff coming onto the premises, into a building or into factories for temperature. I did a quick price check this morning, and the non-contact scanners is from 900 to 3,500 rand, which is not a lot of money if you take the seriousness of the situation. And I would like, radio stations like yourself and other people to get the message out to factories. That is one thing you can do on site to limit the spread.
Absolutely.
The other thing is on the HR question side, with a state of disaster being declared, all factories fall under Health and Safety Act.
Mm.
What responsibility does that put onto factories now to take responsibility for the health of workers while they are on site? Are there any things that they're now bound to by law, and maybe your HR guest or somebody from the legal side that's familiar with it can come in on that.
Paul, we're going to come to some of those issues. There's a lot that you're putting on the table. Can you just answer me one additional question? And thank you for being so very helpful. Working from home in terms of trusting yourself to be productive, with your years of experience, do you have one or two just practical tips for someone who's going to try it out for the first time?
One thing I definitely agree with is stick to a schedule and stick to a routine.
Mm.
For me personally, on one or two occasions, it has happened where I think, okay, I'll start at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. And somehow that day just does not go well. You seem to lose momentum and traction in those kind of days.
Mm.
And the other thing which I find quite positive is there's a lot less distractions. And I actually get the same work done in less hours than what it took me when I was still in corporate.
Okay, so there's an efficiency gain there as well, which dovetails, Anya, with what the previous person has said. There's a lot that Paul has said to, I don't know which, if any, you want to respond to. Obviously, this is a time when companies must not be narrow and legalistic about what they are required to do in all sectors of the economy. We must all do what is socially responsible. And sometimes that's a bigger umbrella than what your legal duties are.
Yeah, no, most definitely. So I think the first thing that I would like to mention, Paul mentioned that, and Bronwyn, our previous call, and I think I just want to put that on the table as well, is that for some people working remotely, working from home, as you say, it might be a positive. But then there's also the people that actually crave that human interaction. We're so used to connect to the people this morning. You know, in the mornings we have a routine where we have a cup of coffee, have a small chit-chat before we start our day. And working remotely, just to make sure that perhaps you can put a buddy system in place where you and a buddy check in every morning, perhaps an accountability partner that keeps you accountable for whatever you said you would do the following day. Or even as a team, just to schedule some time, not necessarily to discuss work issues, but just have a quick 5 to 10 minute check-in time. And it's, again, like having a cup of coffee over the water cooler. I think that's something practical as well. And then with regards to the factories and the workplaces, I think I'm not a legal expert, so I would not necessarily go there. But what I would like to do is I agree 100% with what you said, Jusibi, is that it's not only what legally we need to do, what is the right thing to do in these times. So I think the knowledge with the with employees is quite key. There's so many false information on social media, so perhaps to have a WhatsApp group or a place where you can say whatever we hear from the virus, anything that we think you need to know, this is not false information, we've checked out the source, etc. So I think sharing those knowledge, and then just, again, if you're still at work or is it a factory, what can you change in the working environment as reminders? So can you put something on, you know, posters on the wall, or is there additional sanitizers, or as you say, the equipment measuring your temperature? But just think from the environment, what can you change in order to support your employees as well?
Let's also just talk about technologies. I mean, we keep bragging about how amazing technology is. It's becoming more and more accessible and cheaper. Obviously, data must still fall and we must be able to access it. And again, one must be mindful of the class element of this conversation with some recommendations. But you can manage effectively remotely as well, right? Let's speak into the management fears. You can be on the phone. You can also have FaceTime. You can set up a Skype conversation, Zoom, all sorts of ways in which you can have meetings as well with your team. The concept of team work doesn't go through the window because everyone is physically self-isolating.
No, definitely not. So other tools that people can use might be Microsoft Teams. It's actually interesting that some of my kids, the schools are now giving them assignments and things using Microsoft Teams. There's the Slack app that you can use where we work. I mean, I'm part of global teams and we use Slack very extensively in any case during our day-to-day work. So as you say, SharePoint, WhatsApp groups, I think this is where people can actually share some ideas to say what is working for them. But the two that I would recommend is Slack and perhaps Microsoft Teams.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for coming on, Anya. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me, Eusebius.
It's always a pleasure. And joining us remotely is Anya van Beek, talent strategist and leadership coach.